together. As a family, we join hands together, lifting praises to the Father above for sending his Son.
Good evening. My name is Andrew McAfee. I'm the pastor of White Oak Independent Baptist Church, and appreciate you tuning in tonight for another lesson on fighting for family. And we're going to get started with a word of prayer and get right into the study this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. God, we thank you for being a great God and a great Savior, being our friend. We thank you for this precious Bible, this word that we have, God, that we can learn on how to have a home that'll please you. And Father, tonight as we study your word for just a few moments, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll be lifted up and exalted. And Father, I pray, God, that through this study, Lord, it'll bless a home, a marriage, Father, a husband, a wife, children, God, that we'd have homes that please you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so once again, we're going to get into the Bible study tonight. Last week, we looked for just a few moments about the home and about Hezekiah and about getting our home in order. And it's very important that we get our home in order. The devil is on the rise with attacking the home. He's been attacking marriages. He's been attacking children and teenagers and the sanctity of marriage. And he's been attacking the church through the home for a long time. And used to be where things were kind of on the down low and slide, but now it's just right in your face. It's an all-out attack on the home. And so that's why God's burdened our heart about trying to do some of these studies. And I pray they're a blessing to somebody. And so this week, I want to look at the importance of the home. And just think about that for just a moment tonight. You know, we've got all these things in life. We get busy with work. We get busy with just the affairs of this life. And sometimes we forget to put the attention on the thing that's the most important in our life, and that's our family, and that is our home. And so I want to look at that tonight for a few minutes again. Not all this material that I'm teaching is unique to myself. I don't claim originality to all of it. I'm very thankful for the men and women that God has put in my life to be examples. I'm gleaning a lot from Dr. Tapp's book and also from Dr. Jones, some of the books he's written, and then personal studies and examples that I have in my life. And so that's what we're looking at some of that tonight, on the importance of the home. And the first thing that we need to realize about the home is that God founded the home. In Genesis chapter number 2, in verse number 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And so the first thing that we realize right off the start here is that God, he founded the home. And the home is an institution that God founded. There's three institutions that God founded. He founded the home and government, and he founded the church. And we find here that the home is the first one that he instituted here. When he created the world, he planted a garden. We see that in verse number 8, eastward, and he planted man. It says there at the end of verse number 8, there he put the man whom he had formed. The garden was a beautiful place. It was a place that Adam could spend time with God. It was an absolutely gorgeous place. There's probably no other place like it has ever existed, because it's a place that God made. It's a home that God made for Adam. And God put Adam into a deep sleep, and God was the first anesthesiologist, and he was also the first surgeon. We find here he puts Adam to sleep, and he opened up Adam and took out one of his ribs. And when he did, he created woman. Look there in chapter 2, verse number 22. The Bible says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." And so from Adam's rib, God made Eve. It was not from a monkey. It was not from evolution. And we know that's an attack on the home as well. But we're not going to get into that this evening. But Adam woke up out of his deep sleep, and there stood his bride. God had made a place for them to have a home. He created man. He created the woman. And the first wedding to ever take place was there in the Garden of Eden. Now man had a wife. And they had a place and a home that they can live, a home that God had designed. And that very first marriage and that very first home is an example and illustration for homes throughout the rest of time. There's a lot of great homes mentioned in the Bible. There's examples of really good homes. There's examples of homes that were not so good. There's examples of great fathers in the Bible. There's examples of great mothers. There's examples of children that honor their parents. But then on the other hand, we also have examples of what not to be as a father, and mothers that were not pleasing to the Lord, and children that rebelled against their parents. So throughout all of Scripture, we have great examples. And these great men of God that I quote from their books and try to read from and study and teach from, every bit of their material comes from the Bible, because it lends itself to teaching on the home. That is the final authority for our home and our life and practice in church, is the very Word of God. And so we find many homes in the Bible. Just a few examples that were mentioned here. Jacob's home. Jacob's home was a place that was sometimes filled with happiness, but there was also times of sorrow. You remember the story where he lost Joseph there, and he thought Joseph had died, and his brothers had ended up throwing him in a pit, and that was just a real, real family clash, and brothers fighting against one another and conspiring against the younger brother there. And so that was a home that at times was filled with happiness, and at other times it was filled with a lot of sorrow. Had brothers trying to kill one another. And if you read that story and see how it played out, God ended up using those times in Joseph's life to end up turning back around and helping his family. Lazarus, you read about Lazarus in the Bible. He had two sisters, Martha and Mary. And this is a great home that's mentioned in Scriptures. And it was a place, these two young ladies, Mary and Martha, were always willing to open up their home to anybody that came by and open up their home for the Savior to come in. That their home was the kind of home that ought to look like a Christian home today. It's a great example that we have. There's the prodigal son. We find the prodigal's home in the Bible. And you got a son that gets away from God, and you got one that stayed at home. And there's a whole lot of preaching that could be done in both directions there. But there's just a lot of examples of homes in the Bible. There's the example of Aquila and Priscilla in the New Testament. A husband and wife that conspired with each other to lie against the Holy Spirit about what God would have for them to do in the area of giving. And they were in it together, just like a husband and wife together. We're in this thing together. But sometimes you can be in it for the wrong reasons. You can be in it for the wrong thing. You can be in it to sin against God together, and that's a dangerous place to be. But, of course, the Bible reveals to us the greatest home of all. The greatest home of all is going to be our home in heaven. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3 there, that God is working on a place for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And so that's the greatest home there will be. The point of all this morning, or this evening, that I would like to cover is that God, He founded the home. It was the first institution that He founded, followed by the government and then the church. God's desire is that every human being be a part of a home where Jesus Christ has the preeminence. And as we go through this study of fighting for family, the idea behind this is for every single person in the home to find their place where they can submit to the authority of the Word of God, and they can find their place in the home where they find their place of submission to the one that's authority to them, and God, and in return, God can have a home that pleases Him. Churches are made up of homes. Homes are made up of individuals. And if we could get some individuals and some homes to follow the Lord and obey Him, man, the great churches that we could have. And so we see the importance of the home. God did establish the church, and He established the government, and we're not going to get into that today, but He did establish the home first. Dr. Jones said that the home is God's first institution. It's God's foremost institution. Jesus Christ shed His blood for an individual, and also individuals make up the home. And we also know that the home, marriage, we find, as we'll study as we go through here in great detail, marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. It's a picture of Christ in the church. So it's a very, very important thing. And it's a very important thing in the eyes of God. The home is the foundation of civilization. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the home is where children take their first steps. It's where they learn how to speak, where they learn how to talk. It's where they learn how to behave themselves. It's where they ought to learn how to behave themselves. It's where they learn their manners. I mean, just little manners. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Not to hurt other people. Not to talk wrong to other folks. That is where they learn all those things. As a child, when they're growing up, they get told, don't do this and do this. And they're being trained up. We'll get into that later, but training up. But though that training in the home ends up reflecting later on in life in civilization. You see today the riots and things that are going on in society, and you see all the burning and the sign holding and all that. Every one of those young men and young ladies, or old men and old ladies, or whoever's out there doing it, is a reflection on the home that they grew up in. Now, I understand that sometimes a child can be raised right and raised biblically, and they have a free will to go out and make their own choices. God's given them that. And so I know that there's some exceptions to what I'm saying here. But the majority of what we're seeing going on in society today, the failure is in the home. The failure's with the husband or the wife. You say, well, there's a lot of homes that don't have one or the other. And I understand that. And if that is the case with anybody that might be watching, you do what you're supposed to do. You say, well, I'm a mother raising my children. Well, you raise them for the glory of God, but you still do it biblically. A husband the same way. So in the home, they learn morals. They learn religious things. It doesn't matter what kind of background religiously they come from or denomination. They're taught things, and they develop habits in the home and manners that will follow them. Without the home structure, and we're seeing this right now. We're seeing this in society. Without the home structure of the father, the mother, the children, and everybody doing their part to try to honor God, we become less civilized. We hear this talk of it takes a village to raise a child and all these kind of things. No, if you want to raise a child that will please God and not break your heart, you raise them for the glory and the honor of God. And again, I know every time I teach this, somebody says, well, man, I did right and I did all this and they turned out this way. Well, Bible says that his word will not return void. And you do what's right and you pray for them and you let God deal with them. But when you stand before God, you can say, Lord, I did what you've asked me to do when it comes to the area of my responsibility in the home. But we don't see structure in the home without a biblical home, without biblical structure, without biblical order. We see what we're seeing today. We see a tribal mentality. We see violence. We see children wandering around trying to find themselves. I mean, we have homes today, and we've got people today that they deliver babies into this world, and these parents are saying, I'm not going to decide the sex of this child. I'm going to wait till they're old enough to decide what they're going to be. When God created male and female, there's no figuring it out. There's no trying to guess which one it is, or I'm going to let them pick which one it is. You're born either male or female, period. But we have parents today that are so ignorant to the scriptures, and they're so defiant against God's way that they say, well, I'm going to let my kid decide. Well, that turns into what we see when we turn on the news. That's an example of homes with no order, no discipline, and just able to run wild and make their own choices. And we're going to get into this later on, but I'm talking about the home being the foundation of civilization. I'm talking about homes that are raising children where the children at a young age are deciding that they want a sex change, or they decide that they are a boy and they want to like another boy. I'm talking about at a young age. I'm talking about not just that, but even in a Christian home, we have homes where children that are not mature enough to make any kind of decisions are being allowed to make decisions. It's something that, God's dealt with my heart on, with even with my children, in the area of continually asking them, well, what do you want? What would you like? And that's a dangerous place to be in. I mean, we're asking a five-year-old to make a decision about what they want to eat. And the truth is, they're going to pick something that's not healthy for them, that's not good for them. They're always going to pick, oh, I just want French fries, or I just want this, and I don't like to eat that. And they get this attitude of, I don't like, I don't want. And you say, well, I don't know how this happened. They don't ever like this, and they don't ever like that. Well, it started off when, as soon as they were allowed to talk, you asking them what they want. God gave you children for you to train up and raise up. They don't know what's best for them. They don't know what's best to eat. They don't know what's best to wear. They don't have the capability at that young age to make that decision. Most teenagers don't have the capability to make those decisions. And that's why God gave you children, parents, and that's why parents, God gave you children for you to raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When I say that the home is the foundation of civilization, we have seen a collapse of the home, and we see it in society. And now we've got kids today that when they show up to work, they don't want to work. Well, I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do. And we're living in a society today that is like that. And so they have a problem with their boss, and they're not happy, and they quit jobs, and they jump around. They're in a relationship, and, well, I'm not happy with that, and I don't like that. And they don't know how to have a relationship that pleases the Lord. And it all goes back to when they were younger, they were constantly asked. They were constantly told and asked, what do you want? What would you like to have? And at that age, I understand. Listen, if it's their birthday, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say you don't, you know, sometimes say, hey, it's your birthday, what would you like to have? You know, that's one thing. But I'm talking about every meal, everything, every entertainment thing that we're constantly placing in front of our children. What do you want to watch? What do you want to eat? What do you want to wear? What would you like to do today? And then when that child gets a little bit older and somebody, like a man of God, gets up and he begins to preach and say, this is what God says. It doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter how you want to dress. It doesn't matter what you want to listen to. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What does God's word say? And then that snotty-nosed brat that turns into a rebellious teenager says, I don't like it that way. In my whole life, I've been given the privilege to pick what I want and what I want to do, and I don't want that. And they walk away from God, and the parents are heartbroken that their children don't want to choose God, because God has laid it out pretty clear for us, and he's laid it out so clear for us that we don't have to make the decision. It's been made for you if you're a child of God. Now, he's given you a free will to choose and pick what you want to, if you're going to obey his word or not. But when it comes to dress in the home and standards in the home, and when it comes to convictions in the home and music in the home and submission in the home and love in the home and peace in the home and the word of God in the home, when it comes to the whole home structure, we've been told what to do. So many times people's like, just tell me what to do. I don't want to make decisions. Well, God's told us what to do. And he's given us children and given you the responsibility of raising and training up your children. You say, well, I just want the best for them. I understand. It don't get no better than this. This is the best. Man, this is the best there is. It's no better than this. You raise your children in a home that pleases God and that honors God's word, that is the best life they'll ever have. Too many parents today want to be their children's friend. I'm talking about even the young ladies and young men, the mamas. I mean, you got 40-year-old women that want to act like they're a 14-year-old girl, and they want to be best friends with their daughter. And they're allowing them to make decisions. You've got men that want to be best friends, and you know, I get it. One day you want that relationship. Man, I grew up in a home where my dad was not my best friend. I mean, matter of fact, I'd say, you know, I had to get things right in my heart because he constantly was like, you can't do that. You can't do that. No, that's not your decision. You live in my home. That's not even a choice. No, you cannot bring that music in here. No, you cannot. No, you cannot talk to that girl. No, you cannot like her. A teenage boy, you don't need to be talking to her. And you said, did you like your dad? There was times I didn't like my dad. But I had enough of this book in me, and I'm thankful for it, and enough preaching in my life that I honored him. And I had to get my heart right at times because I didn't honor him with the right heart. But I'm thankful for a dad that did that. And I want to tell you right now today, and anybody that knows me knows this, that my dad is one of my best friends in the world today. But it wasn't that way when I was a teenager. And there was times where I didn't understand it, but now I have children and I'm looking back and I'm saying, Dad, thank you for not letting me make a decision. I mean, teenagers are not equipped to make the right decision. And some folks are letting their five-year-olds make decisions. And in essence, that five-year-old, that seven-year-old, that eight-year-old, that 10-year-old is running the home. Because if they're not happy, then nobody in the home is happy. If that child is having a bad day, then mom has a bad day and dad has a bad day. And that is just wrong. That's just wrong. And so the home being the foundation of civilization is something that if we need to fix the home structure. And churches today, churches are made up of homes. But those churches are only as good as the homes that are in them. Those homes are only as good as the people that are in them. And so you say, why are you even doing this study on fighting for family? I don't even know if anybody will ever watch this or get any help out of it. But it's something God's helped me in my home, and he told me to do this, so I'm doing it. But the truth is, we have to get back to the home. We've got to get back to the family altar. We've got to get back to the structure of the home. We're living in perilous times. The Bible tells us that. We know that. And over there with Hezekiah, I read last week where he opened his home up and showed the entire enemy everything he had, the armory, the treasury, everything in his home. And the enemy came in and took everything from him. And the enemy's been trying to take everything from every home ever since then. And now he's got the thing so confused and messed up, we don't even have homes anymore. We've got these things that, I don't even know what they call them, where there's two men living together and there's two women living together and they're not even married. We've got men and women living together that have children that never got married. They're not even married. And the devil's good with that because guess what? It messes up the whole home structure. Everything's so messed up. They call it a civil union. And there's even men and women that have a civil union. And they're not married, and they've never come before God and exchanged vows between our Creator and said, we want a home that pleases God. And in return, we see exactly what's going on in society. And we have churches that are in a mess, and we've got homes that are in a mess, and we've got government that's in a mess, and we've got all these things. You said, what are you getting all worked up about? We need to fight for the family. Hezekiah opened the doors to his home, and he showed the enemy everything he had. And the devil's going to try to take everything. But in Hezekiah over there, whenever the prophet Isaiah came to him and talked to him over there in verse number 1 of that same chapter, I don't have it right here in front of me, but whenever he came and talked to him, he said, Hezekiah, you're about to die. And you know you're about to die. Set thine house in order. And you said, why are you doing this fighting for family? I'm trying to encourage families to set thine house in order. The Lord's coming back soon. And we need to see our kids get saved, and we need to see family get saved and born again, and we need God to do something. But we got to get our home in order. We got to set things in order. We need to fight for the family. And I promise you, if you try to obey God's word in this area of the home, you'll have a fight on your hand. There'll be people fighting with their spouses, fighting with their children, fighting with their grandparents, fighting with their friends. It's going to be a fight. So what do I do? Well, you better put on the whole armor of God and let him help you and let him fight your battles and stay. You do what's right. You do what's right. He said, my wife, if she would, no. And I'm going to cover that a lot. I'm going to say that a lot. My wife won't do it. You do what you're supposed to, husband. If the wife says, if my husband, you do what you're supposed to. Children, if my parents, no. You do. Everybody in the home has a responsibility. You do what you're supposed to do to please God. and let God take care of that. And we're going to go over those responsibilities. I'm not just throwing that out there and then leaving it. Over the course of time, if God permits and the Lord allows us to keep doing this, we're going to go over all those things. The home is the foundation of civilization. The home is the foundation of civilization, and marriage is the foundation of the home. The devil's got this thing all messed up, and he's God's people, even God's people have allowed this to happen because the devil has skipped step one, marriage. And we've went straight to having families. We've went straight to having children. We went straight to owning a home. I mean, there's an attitude today in society, and I heard a young man say this one time, and I rebuked him for saying it. He said, you wouldn't take a car home without trying it first. He said, what are you saying? He was saying you got to try it before you buy it. He's saying you need to live with her for a few months before you decide to get married. Well, that is against the book. That's against scripture. That's against everything that God ordained for the home. You said, well, how do I know if she's the right one? Hey, here's a novel idea. Try praying and asking God to send you the right one. Try praying and asking in God and having faith in Him that He'll give you the mate you're supposed to have and let God do it. Every decision I've ever made in the flesh has been a mistake. I mean, every one I've ever made in the flesh, it's not turned out right. Man, I tell you what, it's so much sweeter when God does it. It's so much sweeter when God puts a home together. The wife that I have now, she is precious to me, and she loves God. We're on the same page, and that's God's page, and I'm thankful for it. And you know what? That was God. I had other young ladies in mind as an older teenager, young adult, and I had all these plans, but God had something else planned. And I'm so thankful for my dad. I was about to marry a young lady, and she was a good young lady, but that's not who God wanted me to marry. And my dad came to me one day and he said, "Hey son," I'm talking about, I'm 20, 19, 18, 19, 20 years old, however old I was. And he said, "Hey, I was still living in his home. I was still living in his home." And he said, "I don't think this is right." And as I was getting older, he started giving me more leash. He said, "But you need to really pray about it." And I did. And God revealed some things. And I was like, "Man, what am I? Oh, I'm never going to get married now." No, God had somebody for me, my precious wife, that I'm so very thankful for. But God did that. If I would have done it my way, I would not be sitting here today. I would not be preaching in this church. I would not be where I am today if I did it my way. I'm thankful I allowed God to do it His way and allowed Him to do that in my life. So the home is the foundation of civilization, and marriage is the foundation of the home. And we're going to get a lot more into this as we go along. I just hope that you're following along with me. I kind of wanted to cover this morning on the home that God created. This is God's institution. It's not man-made. Marriage is not something man came up with. It's something God came up with. And that's why we need to take it serious. And that's why we need to put some attention to it. And we need to understand what God has for us in His Word. God, the home is not only the first institution, but the home is God's final institution. You got the home, you got government, you got church, but the home is God's final institution. The culminating of in marriage. Think about this. If you're saved and you've been in your Bible and you know some things, you have the great, beautiful picture of Jesus Christ in the church. You have the marriage of the Lamb. There's a marriage supper. It's about the marriage. And so it not only started with the home back here in Genesis chapter 2, but all the way through it's going to end. It's the culminating of the whole thing with marriage. And so church, folks, and if there's anybody watching this that's lost, you're not going to get any of this until you get born again. You're not going to understand it. And you can try all you want, but you'll never know what love is until you know love. You say, what is that supposed to mean? God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is love. And I encourage you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, to accept him as your Savior. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to be saved? Admit you're a sinner. Lord, I know I've sinned against you. I need a Savior, Father. Admit you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Believe that he was buried and rose again. Confess to him, Lord, would you please save me? ABC. And Lord, would you please save me? And the Bible says that he'll save you. And if you are saved, you need to really put a lot of prayer into this matter of the home and make sure you're doing, regardless of what stage you are in your life, the home, the preaching on the home applies to you. I'm a granddad. Or I'm older. Hey, God still has something for you to do in the area of the home. He's got an example that he wants you to be for grandchildren, for other people. And so your work's not done till he takes you home. So there's something we all can glean from this study on the home. And so we want to continue to fight for the family. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for allowing us to do this. Father, I pray, God, that you get all the glory, the praise, and honor out of anything that's said and done here. And Lord, I pray you're lifted up. I pray you help somebody today, save somebody. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We stand here together. As a family, we join hands together. Lifting praises to the Father above for sending his Son.